Chapter 21. As I walked around the planet so I could get my eyes on every inch of the crater-pocked surface, I was glad I had taken the time to level both myself and my ants as high as I could. The strain of having almost 50 ants was taking a toll on my godly abilities, even though some of the ants, like Queenie and One, were strong enough to not really require a lot of energy. If I'd been weaker, this part would have been that much more difficult. I was still incredibly fast and powerful, but I was a lot less so because I had to feed my army power constantly, especially as they got farther and farther away from me. Still, there was nothing for it. After I completed my first couple loops around the Red Planet, I realized two things. First, the planet did have a magnetic field. It was just weak as hell. Second, I'd definitely have to sculpt the surface a bit once I started adding liquid water to it. Because aside from a pair of huge craters on the northern upper quadrant of the planet, the surface barely had 1,000 feet of variation. That wouldn't really work, because it meant the whole planet would either be underwater or at sea level, and that would limit the types of biomes I could create. After all, how was I supposed to snowboard without mountains or have woolly mammoths? And I needed to have woolly mammoths, and a mastodon, and a Tyrannosaurus rex. I shut my eyes and took a deep breath. I wasn't that far yet. My planet couldn't even support bacteria, let alone complex organisms, but it would be able to soon. Satisfied that I'd sufficiently mapped out the surface of my planet, I headed south until I reached the location of the magnetic pole. Then I looked down at the red dirt. It was a relatively unspecial spot, so I was glad I'd gone ahead and marked it on my mini-map. "Well, let's see what this title can do," I said to myself before kneeling down on the surface of the planet and placing my hands on the ground. Then I took a deep breath and focused my aura. I wasn't a master of earth magic by any means, since I had only been granted the power via the "Of the Cold and Dark" title. But in my godly state, that still meant I was a lot better at it than I had been in the dungeon, where I could hardly do a damned thing with it. Trust me, I'd spent a good 40 minutes fashioning a bowl out of a chunk of clay, and even then, it was pretty ugly looking. So, yeah, transforming the surface of the planet was probably out until I got much stronger. But for now, that was okay, because I didn't need to do anything so technical. Instead, I just reached out with my power, and as I felt it flow into the ground, I realized there was a strange resonance within the planet's crust. It sort of thrummed along in a way that reminded me of a drumbeat, and before I knew what I was doing, I found myself humming along. The odd thing was that as my humming continued and my body began to sway with the beat of the planet's natural resonance, I found it easier to push my aura down into it. Before long, I'd shut my eyes and just let my power flow. It was still hard because I could feel the 40-plus connections with my ants spread out all over, as well as Queenie's quick, efficient commands. But it was all background noise in my mind. Instead, I just felt the planet beneath me. It slumbered and had done so for billions upon billions of years. So long that it had nearly forgotten what it had been like to be alive. And because of that, it was slow to wake to my call. Yet, it did, little by little. The planet slowly woke, and as it did, I let my earth power tell it what I wanted. Only what I wanted wasn't simple. Still, I pictured it in my mind and began to project it into the long, dead earth anyway. I focused on the image of a cavern that led all the way down to the planet's core. On other worlds, ones that were less dead, it would have been harder because there would have been molten rock down below, and I didn't have liquid mastery of any kind. If I'd have done this here, I'd have basically created a volcano. This planet, for better or worse, was dead. So it was nothing but solid earth beneath my feet. That didn't mean it was easy, though. Strain racked my body as the ground beneath me began to give way. First an inch, then a few more, then a foot. I pressed on, gritting my teeth as sweat beaded on my brow before evaporating away into the atmosphere. I know, I could have stopped it from doing so if I could have spared half a thought, but I just couldn't. The entirety of my being went to pushing down into the planet's surface, and with each and every inch, the entirety of the planet seemed to shake.
"What are you doing, Master?"
Queenie's voice hit me like a sledgehammer after I had been at it for more than an hour. My body would have been drenched in sweat, but it had all evaporated away, leaving me feeling a crazy kind of dirty. "Digging a hole," I managed to say, without diverting my attention to her. I worried that if I did, I'd just collapse because my muscles were so sore I could barely think.
"Would you wish aid in your task?"
she asked earnestly.
"I could direct some of the ants to help you. We are, after all, quite efficient at this sort of thing."
"No." I took a huge gulp of not air. It was weird, because I knew there was no need to breathe and no air to breathe, even if I'd needed to. But I still found myself going through the motions of the thing. Guess that was a perk or a flaw of being human.
"Why not?"
she asked, and I felt her hand on my shoulder. It was comforting in a way I couldn't quite explain. "Because the distance to the center of the planet from this spot is around 8,000 kilometers," I began to explain. "And in the last hour, I've managed to dig nearly 40 kilometers. Any second now, I'll reach the end of where the crust would be. Then I'll have to dig another 3,000 to 4,000 kilometers to get through the mantle. After that, I need to get another probably 3,000 kilometers through the outer core. Only then will I reach the inner core, and I estimate at my current rate it will take about 175 hours of work to get there." I turned to look at her, which, yes, caused my concentration to falter a bit. "How long will it take your ants?"
"Many times that, Master."
Queenie didn't look convinced.
"And?"
"And that entire time you won't be finding the metals we need for the core." I smiled, despite the strain. "So that's why I'm doing this part." I patted the ground. "Let me do this and you work on your thing."
"As you wish, Master."
Queenie's face flickered with displeasure.
"But perhaps you should rest a moment?"
She touched the spot on her body where the thin trail of godly energy tethered her to me.
"I can feel your strain."
"That's probably not a bad idea," I said as I turned back to my work. "Once I get through the crust, I promise that I will take a break."
"Thank you, Master."
She paused a second.
"You may be a god, but even gods can die. And without you, we would cease to be."
She bit her lip.
"We need you more than you know."
I hadn't really thought about that, but she was right. They would probably all die if I ceased to be. And from my experience in Terra Forma, I knew that while dying in a dungeon wouldn't kill you, a death while in your god form was the end of things. I'd only done it a few times, but I'd certainly ridden the line more than once. It was a line that I was fast approaching. "You don't need to worry," I said, as I felt my power break through the crust. It wasn't really any different in terms of composition than the rest of the planet at this point, because it wasn't molten. But I definitely knew, somehow, that I'd done it. I also knew I was in for quite the slog. Still, I had promised her I would take a break, and she seemed inclined to stand there until I did it. So I pulled my lower back, and immediately, I felt a lot better. It sort of reminded me of working out. My muscles had burned and strained in a way that let me know I was getting a good pump, but at the same time, I knew I couldn't keep up that tempo forever, and even a little bit of rest would help me to maximize the weight and reps for my next set. "So," I said as I got to my feet and turned to face the queen ant, "what's the status of things?" She gave me a look that said, "Don't you already know?" And while I sort of did, in that I had access to the information, I'd always found I liked when people just told me the highlights in situations like this, because then I could more easily brainstorm anything that needed, well, brainstorming.
"It is going well," she hedged, suddenly unsure. "We have located several deposits of tungsten on nearby asteroids, as well as trace amounts of gold, platinum, and iridium."
She frowned a bit.
"And while we still have a great many asteroids to look through, we have found some relatively easy spots to mine on a couple of the non-gas giants."
"Ah, so you wanted permission to begin excavation of those planets?" I asked, and then feigned mock horror. "So you weren't actually concerned about me?"
"I am very concerned about you."
She frowned deeper than ever before.
"Have I done something that would make you think you are not the most important thing in the universe to me, Master? Because whatever it was, I definitely did it unintentionally."
She took a huge breath of non-air. Guess it wasn't a human thing after all.
"Please accept my most humble apology. I was just making a joke,"
I said, suddenly feeling sad.
"It is no joking matter, Master," she met my eyes. "You are my sun and moon and all the stars between."
"I apologize too," I said, because I couldn't think of what else to say. "Anyway, you have permission to excavate the planets. I just don't want to start hollowing planetary cores if we don't have to." I scrubbed my grubby face with my hands. "After all, that might completely destroy those planets, assuming we want to deal with ridiculously huge amounts of hot liquid magma."
"Understood," Queenie nodded. "Would you like me to include excavation of this planet as well? There are numerous pockets of those metals near the surface."
"Not as of yet." I spread my arms wide at the planet. "I know it doesn't much look it, but one day this place will be home to all sorts of life, and some of that life will be intelligent enough to need those materials. I'd rather leave it for them, if possible." I smirked. "Besides, do you want to go out to the far reaches of the galaxy every time someone needs some metal we mined out because it was easier now?"
"As always, you are wise beyond measure, Master."
Queenie dropped into a low bow.
"I will do as you say."
"Thanks," I said before I took another deep non-breath. Man, how I wished we could just skip to having an atmosphere. "Now, if you will excuse me, I think break time is over."
"As you wish,"
she said, and as she bowed again, I smiled at her. "And Queenie?"
"Yes, Master."
"Thanks for coming to check on me. I appreciate it." I smiled at her. "Can you make a point of doing it from time to time, just in case I forget and work myself into oblivion?"
"It would be my pleasure,"
she said with a nod. And with that, both of us went back to work.